Well, the darkening of America is coming under the Biden administration. If you want to see your electric bill get jacked through the roof, you're in the right place right now. Joe Biden, in his first couple of days in office, one of those 19 executive orders put a 60-day freeze, basically, on all new oil and gas leases. They're looking to make that permanent, which would be destructive to states like New Mexico, Arizona, and Colorado in ways that you don't even imagine. Tens of millions of dollars come from those federal leases to schools and infrastructure. All sorts of problems could result. Frank Macirola is here. He is the Senior Vice President of Policy, Economics, and Regulatory Affairs at the American Petroleum Institute. Frank, thank you for being here.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Now, we saw the Keystone XL pipeline. It got yanked in the first few hours, putting 11,000 Americans out of work. 25,000 Canadians lost their jobs, plus people in extended industries around them. Those were the direct losses. Consequential to that will be another tens of thousands of jobs lost on both sides of the border. That's just the beginning. But when I talk about ending the development on federal land, 700 million acres, I mean, the damage to states like New Mexico, Arizona, and Colorado from the money that they get from that energy production, it'll be mind-boggling, won't it?
Yeah, look, you know, over the past decade, the U.S. has assumed a leadership role on energy production and environmental performance. It's resulted in low household energy costs, record emission reductions, and less reliance on foreign energy. And in the first few days of the Biden administration, they've moved in a different direction. And essentially, they have a choice to make now. We can continue the progress that we've made, or return to the days of energy dependence. So we're disappointed with some of the decisions that you just spoke about. We think they set us back in the wrong direction.
Well, certainly. We've reached American energy independence for the first time in my lifetime, and I'll be honest with you, Frank. Going back to my childhood, I remember seeing those lines of cars lined up at gas stations during the oil embargo of 1973-74. Never thought America would be energy independent. Went to war over and over in the Middle East behind numerous presidents, trying to defend energy, because that's really what it was about. We finally become energy independent, and within a couple of years, here come the Democrats with some harebrained scheme to shut us down so we can all ride bicycles and have little propellers on our hats. It's insane, is it not?
Well, you know, the driver of what you describe as American technology and innovation.
Sure.
The combination of hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling have unlocked shale resources around the country that we never thought we'd be able to access. And as I said, the result is lower household energy costs for the American people and greater use of our own resources. And so now, as you know, for the first time, we're becoming a net exporter of energy rather than a net importer of energy. That's a
right.
Huge deal. That's a goal that both parties have been talking about forever. And now we see these decisions that clearly head in a different direction. You mentioned a couple of them, Keystone pipeline and the leasing ban. You take Keystone. This is a project or a decision that with a stroke of a pen could cost over 10,000 jobs. These are good-paying union jobs.
That's on our side of the border. 25,000 on the Canadian side of the border. Go on.
Well, and that's why you've heard Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who's actually a leader on climate change and the environment, express his disappointment with the cancellation of this project.
Sure.
He knows what the opponents of this project are not saying, which is it's going to create jobs, it's going to deliver needed energy, and it's actually not inconsistent with the Biden administration's climate imperatives.
Well, Frank, let me ask you this, because I just read a couple of articles that say if, and it's expected that he'll do this week, suspend the sale of oil and gas leases on all federal land. That accounts for about 10% of U.S. supplies. Now, keep in mind, American companies were smart enough to get onto private land during the Obama administration and expand fracking and figure out how to do it and continue to perfect the technique. But this will set us back years, and a million jobs or more could be lost if this is the policy pursued. Do you believe that?
Well, look, it's clearly the first step in a plan to end oil and gas development on federal land. And what does that mean? Well, we currently get around 22% of our oil from federal lands and about 12% of our natural gas from federal lands. That's the difference between energy dependence and energy independence. And so if you think about it in those terms, you say, well, this decision is going to set us back on energy security. But let's talk about what it's going to do for the economy and for states. First off, as you noted, it has the potential to cost up to 1 million jobs. But it also has the potential to really drive down revenues to the states, much needed revenues. States like New Mexico, for example. New Mexico receives about 30% of its total general revenues come from oil and gas. And so, you know, important projects for education and transportation, those things are put at risk by banning federal leasing of oil and gas.
Yeah, all of those things are put at risk. Our leadership position in the world, and not to mention, when you look at the Keystone XL pipeline, this was discussed during the Obama administration when President Obama slowed down and stopped the project. Our friends to the north said, we will divert this pipeline and run it all the way to British Columbia, if that's what we have to do, and we will sell all of that oil to the Chinese, which is what they must be planning to do right now, because what would be your plan if the United States will not accept that pipeline in to feed our facilities in the Midwest and the Gulf of Mexico for, you know, processing oil? It's going to go to China, is it not?
This project has undergone 10 years of extensive environmental reviews. What we know about pipelines are they are the safest and most efficient way to move product from areas of high supply to areas of great demand. This project is supported by the Canadian government. It's supported by a broad range of labor unions in the United States. In fact, when the Obama administration first assessed this project on an environmental basis, they said it would have a very minimal change in GHG emissions, both in construction and in operations during their first environmental assessment of it. And so, what's changed? What's changed is the politics. What's changed are the talking points. The fundamentals haven't changed. The energy reality hasn't changed. We need that energy. We need that energy to improve our lives, to strengthen our economy, and to bring our job market back. I mean, you think about the current environment that the Biden administration inherits. We have a 6.7% unemployment rate. That was a year ago. That was around 4%. Now, this was a campaign that said they wanted to build back better. How do you build back better when you cancel a construction project for important infrastructure on the very first day in office?
Well, you don't, Frank, and I got to leave it there. It's a great final point for you here, Frank Macchiarola. He is a Senior Vice President of Policy, Economics, Regulatory Affairs at the American Petroleum Institute. Great conversation,
thanks,
Frank. I guess we'll be talking again soon. I'm sure of that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
It's a Tuesday. We'll be back with Craig Stiles to talk about your finances. Don't go anywhere.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
It's time to go on the court with Robin Hook. It's a new day to celebrate and be free. It's a new day full of action and excitement because it's a day for winning only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com. Down two starters and three backups Saturday in Kalamazoo. A shorthanded Western Michigan team put up a good fight against red-hot Akron, but the Zips rallied back from a seven-point halftime deficit and defeated the Broncos 79-68. Senior four-man Greg Lee poured in a career-high 22 points to pace the Broncos, but Akron's Lauren Christian Jackson, the best player in the Mid-American Conference, put up 32 points in 35 minutes, leading the Zips to their fourth consecutive win. Broncos hit the road for two games this week, at Ohio tonight and at Miami on Saturday, still looking for their second conference victory after opening MAC play last month with a convincing win at home over